بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وعن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علمني وأوجس قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قمت في صلاتك فصلي صلاة مودع ولا تكلم بكلام تعتذر منه واجمع اليأس عما في أيدي الناس أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us in the Holy Quran in several places, in several ayat of the Holy Quran with regard to preparation for hereafter. This dunya, this world is very temporary, and everything of this world is based on temporary. Nothing is everlasting in this world. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا What is the life of this world? Except amusement. In reality, the real life is the life of the Akhirah, hereafter, which is everlasting, if people know about it. Now Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked for advice. Ya Rasulullah, teach me something and make it short. In today's time, we don't have time. We want everything instant, fast. Should be no waste of time, no? Immediately and it'll be short and sweet. So Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, give me some advice, but it should be short. So Rasulullah Sallam gave him three advices. Number one, that when you pray, when you stand for the Salat, pray as if it is your last prayer. Second advice, don't say things today that you have to apologize for it tomorrow. And number three, lose hope in what other people possess. Rasulullah ﷺ came in this dunya as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His sharia will remain till the day of Qiyamah. The Holy Quran, which is the guidance for the mankind, will remain till Yawmul Qiyamah. So that's why one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam among the thousands of miracles is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow him with Jawami'ul Kalim, meaning the sentence used to be very short, but it used to be very deep in meaning. Words were very short, not lengthy bayan or lecture, but if a person ponders over those words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that used to be sufficient for the entire life. Now in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has advised, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised for three things. And if we ponder our life, the object of the lives are basically divided in three layers, three standards, three portions, three divisions. Number one, our link and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is first and foremost. Allah Ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have not created human being and jinn, but only for my worship. Worship does not mean here, as ulama explained, just to pray salah. Worship in the proper manner, it means the obedience and total obedience in every aspect of the life. Obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total submission and devotion to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is called ibadah. That is called ubudiyah. That is called obedience. So our entire life is belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first portion of our life or first layer of our life is between us and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second portion is between us and with our people. Hukukul ibad, rights of the people. We have rights, our wives have rights upon us, our parents have rights upon us, our children have rights upon us, our neighbors have rights upon us, our colleagues with whom we are working have rights upon us. So Islam has laid out the rights of the people. And that we are living in that society, we have to take care of all these rights. We cannot overlook, we cannot jump over, we cannot ignore. So the second portion of our life is belongs to the people, hukuk al-ibad, rights of the people. And the third portion of our lives is belong to ourselves. Why? Because we have to prepare ourselves, every individual has to prepare himself for hereafter. He is going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He will be buried in the grave alone. No one will be there. For that loneliness, for that loneliness, he has to get ready, he has to prepare himself. So third portion of the life is with regard to our own selves. Now, it does not mean that we divide our things in three different time span. They all three goes together unanimously, simultaneously. At the same time, we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we have to fulfill the rights of the people. At the same time, we have to prepare ourselves for hereafter. It's not like certain hours of I will devote to the Allah, then certain portion I devote to the people, and certain portion I will be devoting to myself. No, all three goes together. They all three go together. So this hadith is so profound, my brothers and sisters, that in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the golden, precious advice. If we stand, understand and ponder over it, it is sufficient for our entire life. The first portion of this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you stand for salat, you must pray like salat al-muwaddi'. That is like your last prayer of your life. And this is belongs to between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are standing in front of Almighty Allah. So this portion of the hadith is belongs to hukukullah, the rights of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we should pray? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you must pray every salah thinking that that is your last prayer. If a person knows he got the death sentence, may Allah forbid and protect all of us, and judge allow him to just do whatever his last wish, he said, I just want to pray two rakah. And after that, he's not going to get chance. He's not going to get permission to do any other salah. That is his last chance. Just imagine how he is going to pray that two rakat of his last prayer, because he knows after these two rakat I'll be hanged up, right? So how with devotion, concentration, khushu and khuzu he is going to pray that two rakat salah. So Rasulullah said, think, and this is obvious because there is no guarantee of life. One day Rasulullah asked the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, that how you think of your death. Death is so uncertain, my brothers and sisters, it can come any time, in any situation. So one sahabi stand up and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I wake up in the morning, I don't wait till evening. Maybe I'll die during the day. I am not hoping to see a sunset. Rasulullah said, okay, sit down. Other Sahabi stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when I stand up for Salat, for Rakat Salat, I have no guarantee that I am going to complete my 4 Rakat. Then how long it takes to pray 4 Rakat? 5 minutes maximum. Right? 5 minutes. So he reduced his timing compared to the first Sahabi who was hoping for the 12 hours at least. Right? He reduced the 5 minutes. He said, when I start my Salat Takbir Ula, I am not sure that I am going to complete these 4 Rakat. Before I complete 4 Rakat, I may die. Rasulullah said, okay. Then Rasulullah gave him his own example, personal thinking. As being Khatimun Nabiyyin, has been most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Habibullah. He said, my Sahaba, when I make salam one side, I'm not sure I'm going to complete the other side. Now how long it takes? Few seconds. So Rasulullah was trying to teach the Sahaba and the Ummah, you don't even think of your life for the few moments. It is so uncertain. Before you make salam to other side, you may die. Heart attack. Sudden death. May Allah save all of us. It happens. People are dying in the sujood. Alhamdulillah, the best way to depart from this world. Fortunate people. Some people die just reciting the Holy Quran. The best way to die. But very few. So, Rasulullah said, when you pray salat, think this is your last salat. And my brothers, who can guarantee that from the beginning till end, he doesn't think of anything while he is praying? No one has this ability. Right? Even the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, when we start praying, so many things, you know, thoughts comes in our mind, we cannot control our thoughts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am also going through the same situation. Bin Rasul of Allah. When I pray, I also, you know, a lot of thoughts comes in my mind. But don't continue on that thought. Hakim ul-Ummah Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to give one example that we all are drivers, we all are driving, right, on the road. But when we drive, we start from the home to go to our business or anywhere else. We don't think the whole road is empty for us. We are the only one driving on the road. It does not happen, right? Always, anytime you go out and you are on the road, day or night, anytime, midnight, there will be some cars and trucks, the motorbikes going with you in your side or opposite side. Always. The road is full with the cars and trucks. Right? Now what a driver does, he doesn't wait for people to drive through, then I'll go by myself. He drives with the crowd, he drives with the cars, but he doesn't hit right and left. He doesn't hit his car right and left, right? So nicely, his focus is in front, he's talking, he's listening, right? He's eating something while he's driving, but at the same time, his focus is on the road and he just keep on driving. He doesn't bother who is coming from this side, which truck is coming from other side, right? So this is exactly the example. When you pray, the thoughts are going to cross your minds. This is the natural. You continue, focus what you are doing right now. Oh, I am praying Suratul Fatiha. What is after that? This surah I am adding. What is after that? I am going into ruku. What are you reading in the ruku? Concentrate what you are doing. Don't worry about all the other things. Rasulullah SAW gave the example that you must pray salat as you are praying your last prayer. Most of the times, thoughts come in the mind with regard to the future. Like what I will do after I finish my salat, what I have to do. That's the thoughts come in the mind at that time. Oh, I have to finish salat, I have to go for shopping. I have to finish salat, I have to do the phone call. I have to finish salat, I have to go home and finish my work which I left for salat. So he's always thinking of future. Let me finish my salat and I will continue the next item what I have to do it. Oh, with regard to the future. No one thinks or thought does not come for the past. Whatever happened last, he doesn't think of it. He always thinks about the future. After completing Salat, this is my plan. I have to go this, I have to do this and that. Always the thoughts come with regard to the future. That's why Rasulullah said, saying, this is your last salat. You're not going to get time after this. So don't bother about what you're going to do after salat. You don't have time. You don't have chance to do after the salat. This is your last time. This is your last salat. You won't get chance after that. So then if you think like that, if I'm praying for salat on Jummah today, right? I cannot guarantee I will be alive for Asr salat. This is Jummah salat, this is my last salat. So how am I going to pray Jummah salat? I have no guarantee of Asr. If I'm alive till Asr, I should not wait for the Maghrib salat. I have no guarantee for Maghrib. So that's how you should think and ponder that salat al-muwaddi', a person who's farewelling, bidding farewell to the others. Okay, this is my last visit with you people. I'm going away and I'm not going to come back. This is called muwaddi' in Arabic terms. So every prayer, every salat, if you think and if you concentrate in this manner, then only that salat will be counted and accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة من عمل صلاته. The first question about a person will be asked from his all amal and deeds on the يوم القيامة will be with regard to the salat. فإن صلحت فقد أفلح وأنجح. If his salat was completed and perfected during his whole lifetime, then in the scale, if his salat is counted correctly, then rest of the amal will be okay. And he will be successful. He will be successful. But when fasadat, fakat khaba wa khasira. But if there is deficiency, there is a fault, there is no concentration, devotion in the salat, then what? He will be doomed. He will be loser. He will be thrown into the hellfire. Right? So first thing, my brothers, is with regard to your prayer. And that's why every time when we come and when we pray, that we should think this is my last and final prayer. If, inshallah, it will take little time to develop this kind of awareness or to have this kind of mindset. It doesn't happen, you know, immediately. But slowly by slowly, if every salat, if you start, that's why I say Allahu Akbar, when you are raising your hand, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to raise your hands? We can just start salat without raising hand, like we start tilawat of the Quran, zikrullah. We don't raise hand for the zikrullah or tilawat of the Quran or any other amal. While it is necessary to start salat with takbir ula, with raising your hands to your earlobe. Why? What is the wisdom behind it? Do we think? Do we ponder of it? No, we just, you know, like a robot, we just praying salat, but we don't know what is the wisdom behind it. What is the reason of it? Why we have to do it? Rasulullah says, "Sallu kama ra'aytumun yusalli." And he practically, Jibril alayhi salam came down after the, you know, Mi'raj, incident of Mi'raj, and practically shown Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam how to pray salat completely from the beginning till end. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi first taught to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha that this is how you should pray, this is how Jibril salam taught me, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to pray. It's the command of Allah. And we have to follow. What's the reason why we have to raise your hands? Ulama explained that when you say Allahu Akbar, you're putting the entire world behind you. You're throwing your world behind you. In front of me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm standing in front of Almighty Allah. He is watching me. He is aware of every action, every thought of mine. يَعْلُمْ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ مَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. What is hidden in my heart, what is going through in my mind, Allah is aware. In front of that Alimul Ghaib, I am standing. I cannot cheat him. He knows everything. So I am putting the whole world behind me, my parents, my wife, my children, my job, my house, everything behind me now. I am focusing in front. Oh, who is in front? In front is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you have to raise your hand, like you indicating, I am throwing the whole world behind me. And if you think like this, my brothers, then you will have the sweetness of the salah, like Sahaba radiallahu anhu developed with the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the suhbah of Rasulullah, that kind of khushu and khudu concentration and devotion. That's why they used to spend the whole night just in two rakat salat. They used to complete the whole Quran in one rakat. They used to enjoy. They used to enjoy the salat. Here we cannot enjoy the salat. We are so rushing, running out from the masjid as quick as possible. We don't even care about sunan and nawafil. Farad is done, hit and run. May Allah give us tawfiq. I could not complete my hadith. Inshallah, I'll continue next Friday. May Allah give us tawfiq to practice upon subhanAllah.